What the heck, and welcome back to another episode of A Waste of Time, guys. My name is Jordan, I am your host, and I am here to hopefully waste your time in the most entertaining way possible. So I hope you guys have had a great week. I don't know what your situation is like, where you are in the world, and what your country's laws and legislations are like, but here in Australia, I'm doing another week of no travel, another week of sitting in my home, another week on my bum, and another week of overconsuming on social media. So life is going really, really fantastic. Not really. 2020, it just seems like a bit of a dud of a year. I think you can all agree. But even in the darkest of moments, there is always a shining bright light somewhere in the world. And this week, the thing that I have realized that has become, you know, every week I'm discovering these new sort of facets of social media, you know. Everyone sort of jumps on a trend and they run with it. So one week it's cool to just be a fitness influencer. The next week everyone wants to be cooking. The next week everyone wants to try and share a positive quote, or like there's just like different trends. Most of the trends are great as well. They're positive things. I have nothing really against them apart from the fact that be a bit more creative, think for yourself, stop being so cliche. But that's just whatever. That's just a personal thing. But this week, we've jumped on the bandwagon of a new phase, I guess, because we hadn't really talked about, you know, global warming, climate change, plastic pollution. We hadn't talked about these things for a while, but obviously Mother Nature is recovering because no one's driving their car, no one is flying, and we're actually seeing all these crazy discoveries in regards to the Earth can breathe again, because there is like dolphins in places dolphins haven't been in centuries. You know, you've heard the classic, like the Venice canals are white, not white, white, what water is white? The Venice canals are blue and crystal clear and all those sort of things. So obviously the Earth is loving life, and I do generally hope that this is something that we can take on moving forward. I doubt it will be, because as soon as like the world gets back up to it, money and power will obviously come and destroy everything. But we can always hope. We can always hope that people will see that there needs to be a change and actually do something about it. But probably not. I would say our odds are unlikely that things will change. But, you know, we like to think the best in people, and we like to think that, you know, potentially we won't destroy the only Earth we have. But you know, that's just my opinion. I don't want to force that on anyone else. anyway. So all these posts are going around social media like, nature is healing, this blah, blah, blah. And we've seen so many posts of like animals in cities and stuff, because everyone's like, oh my gosh, look, there's deers in Tokyo because nature's healing. And, you know, there's dolphins in Venice Canal. I think we've all seen the Venice Canals more than we need to in our lifetime just from the past month on social media, because it seems to be the thing that everyone wants to share. And I personally never knew the Venice Canals were that bad. I mean, when I went there, yeah, sure, they were brown, but I just expected them always to be, that's just how they always were. But my favorite tagline that has come with this whole nature ordeal has to be, nature is healing, we are the virus. Guys, we are the virus. Oh my gosh, we are the virus, and viruses are bad, and we need to try and eradicate viruses. So what do we do? Because I don't want to kill everyone, but at the same time, we have to try and get an immunity to this virus, which is humanity. Humanity is the killer. What? Guys, we are the virus. You are the virus. That's right, you piece of pathetic little garbage. You are the virus that is killing this Earth. I know, you should feel bad. Do you know why? Because I went really dramatic on that last quote with the whole virus. I went really dramatic to make a point that you are killing everything. So you should feel bad, and you should just shut up and shut up. Yeah, that's right. Because you're the virus. Boom. How does it feel now? Huh. Okay, I don't know. That's dumb. But yeah, that's like the one thing I've seen this week. Like, we are the virus. And it just seems like so dramatic. Like, guys, we've come to this realization that the virus isn't COVID. The virus is humanity. Except everyone seems a lot more reluctant to try and find a cure to what is this thing called humanity than they are to COVID. Everyone wants to sort of like get COVID over and done with. But, you know, after the whole We Are the Virus sort of pandemic has occurred and we've all seen the fact that humans suck, and no one really wants to do anything past that. And I'm wondering here for myself, like, where is the action? You know, once all COVID is done, I need action from the people. People that are tweeting We Are the Virus, I need action from you. I need you to stand up and say, you know what? Actions speak louder than words. We are the virus. We need to somehow eradicate that and destroy this virus or become immune to this virus. So this is what I propose on doing. And then that person that is trying to explain this whole situation will basically just be explaining how they want to slowly get rid of humanity. Anyway, I don't really know where I was going with that. I just sort of went on a little bit of a tangent and that's where we ended up. Well, guess what happens this week, guys? I got an email from one of my listeners. You know, as I say every week, email me if you want to have a topic to talk about or you want something to talk about or blah, blah, blah. And I got an email from the lovely Courtney this week, and it is a classic. So I'm going to read it out on the podcast for you all to hear. It was a girlfriend application email. So she basically applied to be my girlfriend as you would formally apply to be for a job. She applied in the same format for my girlfriend position. And she got one thing right there. If you were my girlfriend, it would be a job. You wouldn't get paid because that would be weird, but it would feel tiring like a job, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, so she goes forward and she says this disclaimer. She says the first thing she says in this email, disclaimer, this is completely a joke. I've been writing cover letters every day in an effort to find myself a job. I thought this would be A, funny, B, a good practice for me, and 3, if nothing less, a funny anecdote to tell on your podcast and make people laugh during the isolation boredom. So 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. She's hit all 3. I'm sure that this is going to be a little bit funny for some of you guys. So I thought I'd read it out loud and here it is. Please, I'm getting really stressed. Okay, I'm really nervous. Please find below my application for the unadvertised position of Jordan Tuelli's girlfriend. Now, I want to explain the reasons why I think I would make a strong candidate for this position. Firstly, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself so you're aware of what you may be potentially getting yourself into if you decide to take me on for this role. My name is Courtney, I'm 22 and I live in a small town of southwest of Western Australia. I come from a close-knit family that currently lives at home with my parents and sister. I am a registered nurse. I enjoy spending time with my friends, eating overpriced avocado toast, and I'm obsessed with coffee. I love dogs and walking along the beach after isolation, I can't wait to go dancing with my friends. Well, that is one opening line. Let me just critique it a little because, you know, obviously, Courtney, if you're listening to this, I want you to sort of like improve in any way you can to help yourself land the next job. So for the most part, it is a great opening line. But unfortunately, there are a couple red flags. So first of all, you're a nurse, which is great. You live with your family, Western Australia. Australia in itself is great. All those things are great. Loves her friends, loves walking on the beach, loves dogs over cats. Respect to that. And dancing with friends. That's all great. I think there's nothing wrong with any of that. I think that's nailing it to the point. But, you know, when you say you enjoy eating overpriced avocado toast, the budgeter in me just has to cringe a little because, you know, $25 for a piece of toast in Australia is probably one of those things that I don't understand how Australia gets away with it, but for some reason we do. And obviously, I'm obsessed with coffee. Coffee is one of the things that I do not understand in this world. So Courtney, if you can please enlighten me with that whole coffee obsession, because apparently 98% of the world loves coffee, and I'm in that 2% or that probably 1% or less that doesn't have any idea why. Why it's so important to everyone. First of all, they charge like $6-7 sometimes for a flipping coffee. It makes no sense. And everyone has these different things like, oh, a flat white, a double flat, a triple macchiato, blah, 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 up, down, left, around, stir the milk like this. People want their milk done the right way. People want the ratios of milk to froth to water to coffee bean. They want to know how the coffee was grinded. I don't know. Australia, their obsession with coffee, I don't understand it. And again, it's overpriced. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And people say that they can't live without their coffee. Like, that is the... It's like saying the virus thing. Like, we are the virus. I can't live without my coffee. It's so dramatic. Like, if someone can just inform me on why coffee is so important to them, I would love that. So if you are listening to this, feel free to send me a DM or probably just email in. It's a bit easier. But just say, tell me why you love coffee so much. I would love to read them out on the podcast next week. And I'm just like... I'm so confused because it just doesn't, it goes way over my head. Call me a simple guy, but it just, I don't understand it. See, and the other thing, so that's a great opening line, Courtney. You know, for right now, you're sitting at a good 8 out of 10 here. Like, you know, we can get over the avocado toast and coffee, so it's not too bad. You didn't mention anything about Pokemon in the first line, so that's a little bit of a red flag there for me because obviously I want to be able to walk around and play Pokemon Go with this person that I want to get into a relationship with. And along with that, you didn't really mention about Survivor. So obviously, Pokemon and Survivor are two core things to do with my identity and my passion. So there are a couple things you can get better at, but for the most part, a great opening line. The next paragraph then goes on to explain how God is a big part of your life and your faith and you're a Christian, and that's very like non-negotiable for you, which obviously, as another Christian, respect, absolute respect, and you did it in a way that was great. I actually get a lot. How do I say this without being rude? So basically, because I am a Christian, obviously other Christian girls generally go, "Oh my gosh, this guy's a Christian and he's cool," and they don't really know me or they don't really like that. I swear, people just message me saying like, "You inspire me so much because you're a Christian and I'm a Christian and I'm so inspired because I love Christians." Like, they just really like, you know, Christians can be weird. I'll have to say that. Myself included in that, but Christians can be some of the weirdest sort of people out there because I don't know. I feel like there's just, I don't know what it is, but I do get a few messages from people saying like, "Oh, we should hang out because you're Christian and I'm Christian and Christians. And they really like dwell on the fact that like, we're both Christians, which means like, it means like, okay, cool. That's cool. You're Christian. I love that. But it doesn't really mean that we're going to be best friends. I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh there, but I get a lot of messages from people saying like very weird things and using the whole faith aspect to try and like, they think it's like a way in with me. Like, oh, if I say this, I'm totally in, which I don't know. It cringes me a little, but the way you did it here, Courtney, is 10 out of 10 perfect. You just said it's important to you and boom. So thank you so much for that. I really respect that there's another non-weird Christian out there in the world. Woohoo! And then the third paragraph, you talk about how much you love traveling, which obviously that's a no-brainer. Like, you have to love traveling if you're going to hang out with me. But obviously, because I have commitment issues and I stress out about these sort of things, you then ease the flow because I'm thinking like, well, I don't want to commit to anything. And I get sort of little skittish. And then you ease it in the fourth. At the end, you just say, "Now, look, I know you're possibly thinking you're not ready for a relationship or to settle down just quite yet, and let me explain why this is absolutely not an issue for me. I have recently completed a degree and jumped in headfirst into my career during the global pandemic, which we respect. Thank you for being a nurse during this time. Currently, I would say I'm open for a relationship, but there are a few things to do on my list before I really, you know, get attached to anyone." And I go, "Wow, that's exactly what I want to hear." So, one, Courtney, props to you. Secondly, it's a bit freaky because I feel like you know me better than I know myself, and you sort of like countered any of my brain, what my brain's thinking, you counter it with the next argument. So very impressive. Anyway, so then at the end, you even sign off with, "What the heck, Courtney?" Okay, wow, Courtney. This is an insane application. I don't think anyone, I mean, there's obviously no one else has sent through an application to be my girlfriend yet, but this application here is wild because I feel like just when my brain's starting to think, "Oh, I don't like that," you then diffuse it. You diffuse the bomb with like, "Oh, don't worry, I don't care about that either." And I'm like, damn. So yes, I really appreciate your application. We are going to process it through HR right now. It's already in HR. We're already talking it over. HR, the process of HR takes 3 to 5 years. So it might be a little while before we get back to you about the position, but know that we have received it, Courtney, and you will eventually get a follow-up. Thank you. And obviously, if anyone does want to apply for the unadvertised position of Jordan Twelley's girlfriend, you can do so via my email. So find that in the podcast notes below. I guess I just advertised it, so it's not technically unadvertised anymore. So moving on and to wrap up, I've got my favorite word that I've actually really loved for the last like year. But what is this word? The word gushing. The word gush. The word gushing, gushed, all of that. What is that? Who invented this word? And why is it like moist times 1,000 in regards to cringe level? It's so weird. It means heavy flow. And it's just like, obviously you use it. Oh, look at that waterfall. That waterfall is gushing. But like, something about that word this week, something about that word this week just really, really, I don't know. Does anyone like that word? Because side note, I just don't think that word is very applicable to today's society. It just seems like a very distasteful word, in my opinion. And another discovery that I made this week was this live. I love live performances and I love live music. For those who don't know, I really, really do love music. I've seen some of my favorite artists all over the world. I've actually traveled to different countries just for music alone. So I do love music. But if anyone knows the Dexys Midnight Runners, you probably know this song, Come On Eileen. I'm sure you've heard this song before. Come on Eileen, oh I swear, baby, at this moment, you need everything. Anyway, I stumbled upon a live version of this song because I was like, oh, I'd like to hear this song live. So I went onto YouTube, I found their official YouTube channel, and I found a live performance of it. And this is probably the worst ever live performance I've ever heard. Ever. I know I said ever, but I mean it. I'm gonna play the two versions for you right now. One is gonna be the studio performance, the intro to the studio performance, and the second one will be the live one. Listen to this. Okay, that was the album performance, the one they filmed in the studio. And now listen to the live performance from, they uploaded this on their YouTube channel in 2014. Listen to this. I kid you not. That is not edited at all. That is straight from their YouTube channel. Did you hear that? It's like a pig squealing. I couldn't believe they even have that up on their official site. Like, it's like their official Vivo. Man, you have to go back. Just flick back and listen to that again. I'll put the actual live performance in the notes of this podcast so you can listen to it yourself and watch it. You can watch the guy singing. But holy heck, that I just thought that was noteworthy for this week because that is just an absolute shamble of a, they have just shambled. They've ruined a good song right there. And now as tradition, we are going to do a flipperoony. The final end of the podcast always ends with an inspirational quote that sort of flips you on its head. So it's like going one direction, then flips the other direction, or it's just a quote that really doesn't make any sense. And man, there are so many dumb Pinterest and Tumblr and Instagram quotes that I could go on for days about this. I already have in a few other episodes of the podcast, so don't get me started. But listen to this one. You've all heard it. Here it is. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. What the heck, guys? Like, don't cry because your relationship's over. Smile that at least you had a relationship. It's so hectic. It's just like, I can't wait to tell my friend. That's the advice I'm going to give them. As soon as they break up with a long-term relationship, long-term partner, I'm just going to say it to them. Hey, Sarah, don't cry because it's over. Just smile because at least it happened. She'll slap me straight in the face. I know, guarantee, it's a guarantee slap. So if I was you, I wouldn't quote that quote ever again. And because I can't help myself, here is one more absolute doozy. Here we go. To the world, you are one person. But to one person, you could mean the world. Wow, guys. And I just feel so touched by that. That like really, yeah, wow, that really rocked me emotionally. Okay, well, that is the end of my podcast for the day. We're coming up on the 20-minute mark, so I want to wrap it up here. If you do have any questions, or if you do have any motivational quotes, or you want to apply for a girlfriend position, or absolutely anything, please feel free to email out, reach out to the podcast, and you never know, you might be in the next episode. Podcasts like this only grow if people share them, so if you do have one friend you could send this podcast to and say, hey, it's a bit of a laugh, do it. I would appreciate it more than you know. Along with that, you can give 5-star reviews or subscribe to me on any of the podcasting sort of apps. That would very much be appreciated as well. Thank you for the small handful of people that constantly tune into this silly, silly podcast. I hope I have sufficiently wasted your time this week, and I will see you in the next one. What the heck? Goodbye.